from the moment we're born, for most of us, we're trained to instantaneously ask, what is it? And so at the moment of the inception, what is it? And then the description of what it is. Upon introduction to clarity, the clarity of superintelligence, that completely changes because the answer is embedded in each here and now. The answer to the question, what is it, is embedded in each here and now. In introduction, it is instinctively recognized what it is. And so that question is no longer the gnawing concern of every moment. What is it? It's no longer asked. And that clears up everything. Then, like an X-ray penetrates a solid object, pervasive intelligence penetrates everything, whether it's solid or not. It penetrates all descriptions, just like an X-ray penetrates solid objects. When an X-ray penetrates solid objects, it's able to see what's inside, or maybe a linear accelerator, or a Hadron Collider, it sees what it is. That's the question of the Hadron Collider. What is it? What is it? What is it? We can't see what it is, so we have to keep asking, what is it? And all the while, what's being looked for is already discovered. However, everything that is discovered about elementary particles, quanta or whatever it might be, strings, all of this, there's no way to make much use of it without the fundamental insight of what it is in relation to all of those other things. And so this is absolutely important. An instantaneous clarity. Everything is seen through, just like an X-ray sees through a solid object. So it cuts out the question, cuts through the question of what is it? From the time we're born, we're taught to look at everything and describe it, including ourselves. And if we can't describe it adequately or accurately, then it shows the limitation of our intelligence. Well, that's true. The introduction to clarity, occasionally that suffices, that's it, then the way things actually are is always seen. However, if that isn't the case, then by the power of short moments, clarity becomes continuous, it becomes automatic. It's like riding a bicycle. For a while, you have to learn, pedal, push, all that. And then after a while, it's automatic. It's continuous. Similarly, in short moments, clarity is automatic. The introduction is key. The introduction to clarity is key. Clarity isn't a flat nothing, a blankness, a void. It's vital, alive, alert. It can safely tunnel into anything without fear. It can tunnel into any terrain. But equally, if one actually believes in a virtual reality, it can tunnel into that terrain and believe everything going on there. It can assume any identity. And so it can seem like a parallel universe, a hell realm, or whatever it is. By the power of clarity, the simplicity of the way things are clears up everything. And this is really the basis of everyday life. Life isn't worth having otherwise, because otherwise life is an endless array of trying to figure things out and trying to fix everything that's going on. And so all the ideas we have about psychiatry and psychology, about science, they're codes to a virtual reality within which the science and the psychology and psychiatry seem perfectly plausible and relevant. However, in penetrating intelligence, there's very little relevance, if any, in those means. There's relevance only for the beings who believe in those realities. Do you see what I mean? Clarity is introduced. Science becomes a playland of creativity. Filled with liveliness and laughter and enjoyment. There's no longer the need to feel like the center of the universe. Like it all depends on us. We're the only beings. We've got to figure it out. I just saw a talk on the creation of the first creation of artificial life. And even though there are enormous leaps of accomplishment in that area, they would be fueled exponentially by the invasion of some clarity into the equation. And so no matter what the advancement is, by the power of clarity, there are many, many, many solutions realized that wouldn't be able to be discovered at all without it. when we look at our actual advances as a society, we can point to many things. We can point to our laptops or tablets or whatever they may be. However, we'll also need to point to terrorism at the same time. Humankind has never been in a state where everyone on earth lived under the 24/7 threat of terrorism, a pervasive unconscious threat, subconscious threat for everyone alive. And so the conclusion can be drawn that we really haven't advanced. When we can't live without terror. The terror that is being projected everywhere is from our own inner terror, being afraid of ourselves, not being able to allow everything to be as it is. Within ourselves, being afraid of certain aspects of ourselves, certain points of view within the view. And again, that's all due to training. No matter what kind of state anyone gets into, it's always pervaded by indestructibility. By indivisibility. The only way to become convinced of that is in your own points of view. That's where the view is. It's in those hideous points of view. In all of them. The ones we try to avoid are the ones where it feels most freeing. All the energy that's wrapped up in avoiding points of view then is just completely freed up for benefit and play. We terrorize ourselves without the view. And so, yeah, that's what it boils down to. We're constantly on the attack. In the moment of inception, whatever comes up, what is it? What is it now? It's really true. Each here and now is the moment of inception and simultaneous release. And so the whole play of saying, oh, here is something, what is it? How long will it last? When will it go away? Or I'm glad it's gone, I hope it never comes back. Whatever that is. That whole process of beginning, middle, and end. Comes to an abrupt halt in seeing clearly how everything operates. There isn't a moment when anyone is confused, really. There isn't a single moment when anyone is confused. The whole trip about confusion and not recognizing versus recognizing, not being aware versus being aware. All of that just comes to a complete stop. Nothing to struggle for or to figure out. Nothing to get or to attain. All the ideas about some kind of grand accomplishment on down the road. Each moment is a moment of consummate fulfillment. Even better than creme brulee. Or whatever you happen to like. The here and now is like the sky. There is no division or split, no degree. There is no science, no religion, no self to analyze, no ideal conduct, only an expanse of natural benefit and prosperity. That's the core right there. Doesn't matter what the label is, it could be any label whatsoever, in a dictionary or not, anything at all. In our own experience of ourselves as we actually are, we see that we felt driven to divide and split everything up, to contextualize it as to how it relates to us and our definition of the world, to see how we're operating compared to idealized degrees of operation, whether it has to do with intelligence quotient or career success or height or weight or age or skin color or whatever it might be. Straightening, curling, bleaching, cutting, lengthening, shortening, expanding, contracting. Endorsing, denouncing. Hero building, demonization, that's one of our favorite pastimes. In short moments of clarity, all this is very, very clear, the way we've trained ourselves to operate. The idealization of our conduct has us doing all kinds of things, here, there, and everywhere. In assurance of clarity, we get to see straight away that at some point we're going to go berserk, mentally, maybe even physically, in a safe realm. We're going to see straight away right here, no matter how berserk we might be, that clarity pervades everything, absolutely everything. Our darkest thought, our darkest action, past or present. Completely pervasive. This is the key to subsuming everything in superintelligence. Without that, there are always the extremes, the ideal, the rarefied goodness, prim and proper, bold and strong, whatever it might be, versus yucky, demon, devil, horrible, evil one. Subsuming all extremism and perversity of all kinds, positive, negative, and neutral. Superintelligence carries on in luminous clarity. With no need to pick up identity here and there. Each identification always obsolete, no matter what it is. Within that puzzle of labels, there's no particular collection of pieces of the puzzle, points of view, no matter how many one could accumulate over on one side of the table or the room or the planet or the universe, wherever the space might be. One could never accumulate anything that would be equivalent to even an iota of one instant of clarity. And so you see all the points of view of contrivance, of cultivation, of development, of fruition, of accumulation, of attainment, of result. All of these, whatever they are pale and puny compared to superintelligence, because they all operate within a game of contrivance, within a game of somehow boxing them into a certain set of variables that are not flexible and not infinitely playable, you could say. Reduction of code to zeros and ones allowed all kinds of things to occur that never occurred before. In the same way with ourselves, if we look at ourselves in terms of the view and points of view, we simplify but don't oversimplify. There's still allowance for infinite permutation. Also infinite and exponential reliability and replicability. Simple fundamental rules that apply to all systems. a framework within which there is a great deal of flexibility. And a great possibility of customization as well. So say, for example, you're a psychologist and you're trying to support someone in their mental health. That'll be displayed in all kinds of ways. But with some very simple rules that apply to everyone, each one can be helped in a very customized way according to whatever their particular points of view might be. And what kind of points of view are there? Again, very simple, positive, negative, and neutral, just like elementary particles. Proton, neutron, electron. So you see it all, the science matches up all around. It isn't some kind of weird, primitive throwback science applied to psychiatry and psychology that has no relevance whatsoever to elementary particle physics or quantum physics or string theory, not at all. It's all aligned. The technology of self, the technology for the care of self that we use today, far and wide, religion as well as the diagnostic and statistical manual, these things are based on ideas that are thousands of years old. They have no relevance to the way we operate today. And they're a completely unnecessary overcomplication of a very simple dynamic. If we really want to care for ourselves as we actually are, the care of the self, and we want to do that in a way that has great authenticity and a way that is greatly genuine, then we need to be able to give ourselves immediate benefit in every single moment. The kind of benefit that is replicable and reliable. Not some kind of benefit that is never replicable or reliable. That can't be really beneficial if it isn't replicable or reliable. Since we cannot have control at all over our thoughts, emotions, and sensations and experience, we have no sovereignty over those things at all without clarity. None. They'll keep coming in all kinds of various forms, even if we can quiet our own into some kind of dead and comatose state. There'll still be those of everyone else, so. By getting clear on our own super reality, then, not only are we clear to us as individuals, but when we look at everyone else, we know exactly what's going on. That's what pervasive intelligence is. If I look at you and I think you are your points of view, then I'm in real trouble. That's so for everybody. That's what we teach ourselves, though, by and large. We identify ourselves by our points of view. And when we look at others, we identify them as their points of view. Or accumulation of their points of view. in clarity, all that's cleared up. Not only are your own points of view clear, so are everyone else's. X-ray intelligence. Pervasive intelligence. Have you seen the layer application where you just hold up your phone and it is a GPS and a compass, so it can read where your phone is and what it's looking at and tell you more about your landscape or who's tweeting about what in your neighborhood and show you their picture. And well, X-ray buildings and show you what's going on inside. Load that up with intelligence and you've really got something. And that's what super intelligence is. It's similar to an X-ray, pervasive intelligence. A live app. That's what we are, a live app. We've grown accustomed to this dimension. It's like taking a vacation. Right now we're in Florida in this dimension, and so it is a certain climate. All these things are going on. Well, our whole life is like that. It's like a trip somewhere where we get accustomed to the environment, but all the while all these other dimensions are fully loaded. And the intelligence, our own intelligence that fuels us, is fueling all of these dimensions equally, all these layers. And so you see, we can become accustomed to that just as easily as we can be accustomed to our trip to Florida or the Earth realm or whatever you want to call it. We can just as easily become accustomized to interoperating in all dimensions simultaneously, one at a time, whatever. Depends on what kind of app we want to run. During my lifetime, I've seen movements in society where people, oh yes, we're going to adopt this identity now. We're going to be communists or hippies or suffragettes or preppies or gangsters or, you know, whatever it is. But none of it works. They're all just vacations. They're entertainment applications to run for a while. However, if we really want to have a good time and enjoy all the apps, then super intelligence is where it's at. It has easy, open access to all the apps, whatever they are. It can run any app it wants throughout all the dimensions. How many here have seen the Diagnostic and Statistical Manual? If you think it's scary now, take a look in there. Because everyone you look at, you think, oh dear, I'm getting sicker every minute. I'm feeling more and more mentally ill with every definition I read. Whatever the point of view is, then we can follow that. We can tunnel in endlessly. It's a realm of infinity. It'll never end. The more we explore, the more it'll look that way. The more mental illness we're looking for, the more we'll find. The more elementary particles we're looking for, the more we'll find. The more characterizations of self we're looking for, the more we'll find. The more necessity to nail down an identity according to certain factors or variables, the more we'll find. Waves and frequencies, oh, we've seen nothing yet. Gamma rays, oh, that's nothing. Linear accelerators, hadron colliders, that's nothing. How about colliding several universes together? And all of their elementary particles and strings and quanta and everything else. What do we have then? What is real science, real tangible, valuable science, gets at the essence of truth, the truth of reality. It delivers the result of immediate benefit for the users of the science. That's real scientific creation. Immediate benefit for the users of the science. Somehow, in this virtual reality, everything's gotten way off in the future. All the benefits are going to come way after our lifetime. With a few gold rings tossed in along the way. Whatever can give us immediate benefit has value overall. Immediate, solid, reliable, replicable benefit for everyone right now. That's what we need to count on. That we can call valid. This we can call worthwhile, completely worthwhile. In clarity, there's nowhere to turn. There's nowhere to turn. Nothing to turn to. No way out or no way in. Everything is just exactly as it is. Very simple. The whole game's over. Everyone's a super player, superhero. What we find in our work is that there are some institutions that are quick to adopt and quick to adapt, and others that aren't. What we do is we focus on those who are ready. It's just like Google and Amazon. They're not trying to create a market out of people who aren't ready to use it and don't want to use it. It's just business sense. Go where the adopters are. The whole technology marketing life cycle is based on that. Early adopters, innovators, mainstream, and then the ones who come along later at the end. That's how a pervasive environment is created. And so in a society, like you said, where we're all trained to see division and split and systems and identify the problem, apply the antidote, maybe get a solution, maybe not. If you don't, apply another antidote, on and on and on. We're quickly snapping out of that mode. Very quickly snapping out of it. We can see it happening before our very eyes. Yeah. And the next wave of technology development is going to require this major app related to the mind, because it will be impossible to feel the technologies required without the mind app. Absolutely impossible. there will not be the breadth and scope of intelligence necessary to create interactive, interoperable, seamless, ubiquitous, pervasive technologies that are not device-driven. Now, this app for the view and points of view, it is very, very easy for many people to adopt. Just like Google and Amazon are easy for people to adopt, or other kinds of technologies. This is very easy for many people to adopt throughout the world. And it gets easier and easier every single day. Initially, it was slower, but now people come in and they just snap right in. So this is something I think we can count on. Because like you said, this is the era where things are much more instinctive, much more immediate, much more alive. That's what people are looking for. Something that's applicable right here, that's going to better their life right here. And so you see, this is what people are recognizing. The way things are, they've always been. It doesn't matter how far back you go or how far into the future, things will still be the way they actually are. And the view and points of view allows it all to flow along in an extraordinarily manageable way, enjoyable way, yeah. When I saw the announcement of the layer, I just thought, oh wow, they're going to be watching this in about 10 years and just laughing, watching their demo and... Because it's just so clear what's coming and how it's just going to be so easy for people to be extraordinarily mobile in a way that is inconceivable to many people today, and mobile in a way that is not related to devices. And we really are already mobile in that way. It's just that our definitions of things do not enhance the recognition of our mobility. We easily penetrate everything. We have a complete understanding in every moment about the exact nature of every single phenomenon everywhere. That is absolutely instinctive. That is instinctive. It's innate, inherent in every single phenomenon. It can't be otherwise. And so you see, that's just lighting up now everywhere. Today we have certain standards that we hold each other to, mostly according to points of view. And so you see, when we no longer have a standard of points of view, when the standard is the view, then each of us can be of maximum benefit to everyone else because we all have a commonly agreed standard. When the commonly agreed standard is points of view, then it's chaos run riot. However, when the standard is the view, everything settles in that and it becomes a truly mutually supportive, cooperative, collaborative society. You see, whether it's a business organization or any other organization. So this is the kind of standardization that is really called for. It's absolutely essential, and it makes good practical sense. Plus, it's filled with firepower, real firepower.